Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassions or mercies, blot out my transgressions. This is one of the cries of David's heart after his sin with Bathsheba, and he knew that there was not a sacrifice that he could bring to God. He knew that there was nothing he could offer to God to blot out this transgression, to blot out this sin that he had done. And not only had he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he had sent her husband to the front lines to have him killed in battle. So adultery and murder were both hanging on David as his sins. And he knew there was nothing within his realm of experience, nothing within his realm of wealth, nothing within his realm of knowledge that could rectify that situation. His only chance was to plead for the mercy of God. And here in Psalm 51, we see that prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great mercies, blot out my transgression. Now, that was a prayer that was answered.
Yes.
We see that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, where Paul quotes David as saying, blessed is the man whose sins God does not count against him. And so this prayer has been answered, not within human experience, but because of the mercy of God.
Yes.
Now, that's a prayer that's answered for each and every one of us as well, and we see that answer at the cross of Jesus Christ. That is where God blotted out our sins. That's where he took them away. He removed them from us. He divorced us from those sins. And he, Jesus, took the punishment for us so that we could experience forgiveness of sins. There may be many in our listening audience today who feel like God is a million miles away, who feel like God is angered, disappointed, mad, just ready to throw the hammer of punishment at them. And in their hearts, they're crying, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm encouraging you today to take a look at the cross, because at the cross, you're going to see the mercy of God being delivered.
Yes.
Christ doing for you what you could not do for yourself, taking that sin away from you, suffering the punishment so that you could be set free. Now, it's kind of interesting in this passage, the word mercies, according to your great mercies, blot out my transgressions. That's a Hebrew word, raham, and it's a feminine use of that particular word. It's in the plural, but the singular is the womb. It means the womb. So whenever you see that word in singular, it is always talking about the womb of a woman. There's a great passage in Genesis 43 where Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, and he became overwhelmed with tender affection or tender mercies, tender wombs. And it just shows the nurturing, something about motherhood, how when that womb has a baby in it, the mother has just this desire to do everything in her power to take care of that baby.
Uh-huh.
It just sets off the maternal instinct. And so when we're crying out for the mercies of God, when David was crying out for the mercies of God, he was appealing to an instinct like that in God. And God is the one who is full of tender mercies for us. He has something inside of him that sees our condition and wants to relieve it with his actions. And that's what he did in sending Jesus.
Yes.
Something inside of him moved him to act on our behalf so that we could receive the tender mercies of God. And we receive those in full in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So if you're struggling with fear, with guilt, with all of those things that are associated with sin, God sees your condition. God sees your heart. He knows what you need, and he's ready to deliver the mercy that you so desire in Christ. If that's your prayer today, look at the cross and receive the mercy that he has for you.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We certainly welcome you as well. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. If you have a situation that you would like to talk about on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now. Well, we're going to go to Red Oak, Texas, and talk with Gwen, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, Gwen. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in a battle of my mind. I am a believer. I've been baptized, and I've felt faithful in the past with God, even in bad situations. Good situations, I've always felt he was with me, but I've had some setbacks in my life recently, and those setbacks have shaking me to my core, and I'm to the point now where I am having a very difficult time having faith in God. I can't feel an emotional connection, and it's driving me crazy because I feel like I'm not being the Christian he wants me to be because my faith isn't where it should be.
Well, let me ask you this, Gwen. Is he being the God you want him to be? See, that's the deal. It's not about you being the Christian he wants you to be. It's about learning that he actually is the God that you want him to be. He is taking care of you. He is loving you. He is meeting your need each and every day. Do you understand?
Well, I guess I'm not feeling very faithful because I feel like my circumstances haven't changed and been a while, and I'm wondering if he even cares. My faith.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you, Gwen. You're judging God based on what's happening to you in your circumstances, and since your circumstances aren't changing the way that you would like them to change, you are doubting that God's even interested in you. You're wondering if he even cares.
Right.
Because if he cared, he would be changing these things. And that's how we as
one of them.
That's how we as human beings think. We judge God based on what's happening to us in our circumstances. So if everything is going well, we're blessed, God is good. If everything's going rotten and we're going through difficult circumstances, man, we're just in the pits. And God is a million miles away, could care less about us. And so we have a schizophrenic God based on our circumstances. Well, here's what we know to be true. Our circumstances are always going to change. We're going to have rough waters. We're going to have calm waters. Most of the time they feel pretty rough, pretty choppy. Life is tough. The world that we live in is tough. The people around us are tough to get along with. We're tough to get along with.
Not us.
So everything about this world that we live in really sets the table for hard and difficult times. And we have to learn that God is for us in those difficult times, that his love for us never changes. It is unshakable. It will never It never goes up and down with our circumstances, that in the good times and in the bad times, he pours out his love on us in Christ. And when we become convinced of that, then we're able to navigate those choppy waters. It doesn't mean those choppy waters go away. It doesn't mean our circumstances necessarily change. But we have an anchor in the midst of them. And that's what you're looking for, Gwen, is that anchor. And that anchor isn't tied to your feelings. That anchor is tied to truth. And the truth is that God is for you, and if he's for you, who can be against you?
Okay, so how do I, what what do I do? I'm tired of feeling this way. I don't want to die and go to hell because of my faith. Wasn't where it should have been, because I do believe that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. I need to know how I can change my mindset.
Well, I think it begins with an attitude of thanksgiving. Faith always says thank you. That is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks in all things. So can you thank him?
I don't necessarily mean it at the time. Like, it's just words.
Well, let me ask you this, Gwen. You were a sinner. You had sins, and those sins deserve to be punished. And you're going to have sins tomorrow. Those sins deserve to be punished. Who took the punishment for you?
Jesus.
Well, is that worthy to thank him for?
Yes, but because I don't.
No, Gwen. No buts. No buts. No buts. Is the fact that Jesus died in your place and took all your sins away, is that worthy of a heart that says thank you?
It is.
Are you willing to say thank you for the forgiveness that you have in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is tomorrow when you wake up, you're still forgiven in Christ, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you willing tomorrow to say thank you for the forgiveness that you have in Christ?
Yes.
2 days from now, when you wake up, are you still forgiven in Christ?
Yes.
Are you willing to say thank you for the forgiveness that you have in Christ?
Yes.
So that forgiveness has nothing to do with your circumstances, does it?
No.
No. So if everything was great, I mean, you had more money than you knew what to do with it, had the most loving family, the greatest relationship, you had stature and respect in the community and the nation and the world, and all of these things were going so well for you, you would still need forgiveness, and the only place to find it would be in Christ. And so in the midst of that good times, you would have to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness that I have in Christ. Same as you would in the bad times. Now, here's another thing. Gwen, when you come to know Christ, when you receive him, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in you. So where does God's Spirit live right now?
It's within me.
In you, right? So
right.
You're having a bad circumstance, but where's God? He's in you. So being in you, he's right in the middle of that bad circumstance, isn't he?
Yes.
So can you thank?
Feeling.
Doesn't matter if you feel him or not, he's still there, right?
Right.
So your anchor is in truth, not your feelings. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So you have to keep coming back to truth and thanking the Lord for that truth. That's when your emotions will start changing. But give them time. They're not going to change overnight. You have to give them time. So thank the Lord for the forgiveness that you have in Christ. Thank the Lord that Christ is alive, living in you right now. Those two things.
Okay.
Let those two things be the rock that you stand on. If you want to find solid footing in your broken world, there's only one place to go, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay, so the bottom line is I need to take my feelings out of it, that God is with me no matter what my circumstances are, in spite of how I feel.
You got it. Bingo.
Okay.
That's exactly right. I mean, we look out and we know God exists, but we can't see him, can we?
No.
I just want to feel him, and so I can know he's there, but those feelings don't come very often. But we know he's there because he's revealed himself to us in Christ, and we see about Christ in the Word of God. And that's where we need to let our faith be anchored, in the revealed truth about God in the person of Christ.
Okay, I understand.
Okay?
Okay, thank you for your feedback. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gwen. And you're growing in the Lord.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we've had conversations. You're growing in the Lord. You may not see it. You may not sense it. You may not feel it. But you're growing in the Lord. Just your response just 2 seconds ago shows that you're growing in the Lord. So thank him for that, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Gwen. Thanks for your call. God bless. Let's go to Hutto, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, Bob, I want to just say something. I've got a question, okay?
Okay.
I've always been taught that mercy was not receiving what you do deserve, and grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. And I think I'm off a little bit with that. And I've been meditating on this grace and mercy all week. And I always like to take things back to Genesis, the beginning. And so you see God clothing man in animal skin. And I see that possibly as the first act of mercy, okay, that pointed to the act of grace. And up until that time, Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, extended that gift of grace to mankind. Okay, now here's where I want to make it personal with me. So I entered into his gift of grace. I was under his mercy until 1995. And at September 1995, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I received the gift of grace. Okay, what my question is you. Now that I'm in Christ and have the Holy Spirit living in me, how does mercy tie into grace that I have right now and the gift of grace? And I know it does, but I really don't understand it.
Well, again, mercy, just based on the definition of the Greek words, is extending help for the consequences of sin. It's having compassion on a person in unhappy circumstances. It's bestowing salvation upon someone. So, for example, in the book of Titus, we read, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." So mercy is that quality or characteristic in God that moves him to act on our behalf. So by mercy, because God is rich in mercy, he made us alive together with Christ through the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's all a part of the mercy that he extends to us in Christ Jesus. And so those mercies, as it talks about in Hebrews, when we were extended that invitation to go boldly into the throne of grace so that we could receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So when we go into the throne of grace, there's nothing that we have to bring. There's no strings attached. God doesn't act because we've done something. He just recognizes our time of need. He shows us that we're in his favor, we're in his grace, and then he extends mercy to us. That mercy.
So that's even now, right? You're saying even after I'm saved, that's operating in me now. He's extending mercy to me in my time of need, even though I have Christ within me, correct?
That's correct, because we often have times of need, don't we?
Yes, sir. Now I'm starting to see what you're talking about. See, I never saw mercy as much of a need after a person had received the gift of grace, but it's also mercy, I guess, has to do with salvation of the soul, of putting on the mind of Christ, and also of being anchored in peace and things like that, in love.
Exactly.
And if I don't feel forgiveness, that's His mercy that moves upon me, that moves me into feeling forgiveness. Or if I don't feel worthy, it's His mercy, even though I have all things that pertain to life and godliness, it's mercy that comes upon me that wants to see me as a child of God, and that my sins were all forgiven, and I'm not, and takes my consciousness off of my behavior and puts it on Christ's finished work.
I think you're exactly right, Clay.
Yeah, I think you just stated it wonderfully.
Yeah. Why weren't you on at the first of the month to really convey that as well as you did? That was fantastic. But I think there's
some religious teachings, Bob, that go back to those of us that have been saved a long time ago, for a long time, and it's kind of confusing when you to tie mercy and grace together. But I'm seeing it now, and where I first saw it is with the animal skins. That was the mercy that pointed to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it sustained man up until that point, and it still sustains man.
That's exactly right. I've said this a couple of times on the broadcast this month, that mercy, as one commentator put it, mercy is the application of grace. So I think there's an active word. There's something inside of God. This sense inside of Him that He wants to move on our behalf, and then it's coupled with the act of mercy that He extends to us in bestowing upon us salvation, lifting us up out of our messed up ways that we find ourselves in time and time again. That's all a part of God's mercy being extended to us in Christ.
Well, I like that. Richard will be glad that I finally got that.
finally, Clay.
Well, yeah, I got it. Thank you.
All right, Clay. Yeah, hey, man. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff today. Thanks for your keen insights. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go down to Burleson, Texas, and talk with Dave, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Dave.
Hello. About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, there's that woman that had the son that said, if you did not speak in tongues, you were not saved.
Correct.
Okay. My question is, when did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. I mean, that was when
Wrong. Read John 20:22. Jesus in the upper room on the day of Easter.
Well, Dave, I've read that just once or twice in my life, and I take that to mean that he was preparing. The gift of God's Spirit wasn't given until the day of Pentecost. Now,
excuse me, but it says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's the day they received the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's your opinion. We appreciate that. I choose to disagree with that. I think the day of Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit was given. But your point, Dave, is the fact that you don't have to speak in tongues to show that you're saved. Mm-hmm. That's what so many people believe. That's what so many people teach out there. Unless you speak in tongues, you cannot be saved. Well, that is not a gift that assures us of our salvation. I've never spoken in tongues. I don't think anyone on our staff has ever spoken in tongues. But we have the assurance of our salvation. Why? Because we have God's Spirit living inside of us. And He makes makes His presence known to us by bearing witness with our human spirits that we belong to God, that we are indeed children of God, heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's where assurance comes from. We also know that from what John wrote in his first letter when he said, he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So if you have Jesus Christ, if you've received Jesus Christ, you've received His life. And the language that He wants us to speak in is not these foreign tongues, although if He moves in our hearts to do so, that's His prerogative. But He always wants us to speak in the language of love, to have kindness toward others, to be gentle toward others, to be patient with others, to believe the truth about others, to hope and to have and all of those things that are listed in the definition of love. That's what he's called us to believe. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll be back for another edition tomorrow. For the whole Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.